And then there were three. And who will be joining St. Helens in the grand final next week? Well, there's only three people I know who can answer that question, and they're round the table for this week's Total Rugby League show. Martin Sadler's here.
Hi.
Alex Davis is here. And Aaron Bauer is back, everybody. So, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Total Rugby League show. Loads of Rugby League chatter coming up on this week's show. Later, we're going to be joined by the chairman of the Charlie Panthers, Alan Bauer. No, sorry. Alan Bowers, he'll be talking to us about that £80,000 grant that they've received for a new clubhouse, and we'll be talking to the Charlie Panthers later. We're also going to be joined by Lorraine Marsden. Not actually checked if this is okay or not, but I did see her walk past the door before.
I'm sure we'll
to talk about the women's playoffs. Yeah. And we've got Alex here as well to talk about the NRL grand final this weekend. Oh, my goodness.
I might chip in with other things. You never know.
Yeah, okay. Now, we might as well start with you. Salford 22, Castleford 0.
Oh, thanks, Ben.
Simple question, Alex. Would Castleford have scored now if they were still playing and it's 6 days removed from the game?
Alex, I'm not going to answer that question.
Alex, they were phenomenal, weren't they, Salford? Joking aside.
No, they were. They were. Absolutely. The best team won, without a shadow of a doubt. I was really, really impressed with Salford. As Aaron said, I don't think Castleford would be scoring. Even now. Obviously, they got closer ranking, but they produced a huge play. Now, levels, what a tackle that was.
I mean, if this is a successful season for Salford, and that's a big if, because they've got to get through the two best sides in the country to get to where they need to be. That challenge from now levels is going to be,
my God,
could have been, it's a hugely successful season regardless of what happens now. Obviously, they want to finish it off.
I don't know, mate.
They want to finish it off. But
I don't think you get
come
so...
Come on.
They've
finished
But
third.
To get so close, and I don't know. Someone tweeted me saying that every other fullback in Super League could have made that tackle now levels made.
Yeah, well, of course.
I was Twitter free.
I could have made charge. It, obviously. I mean,
not only did he reach him, because obviously if he tackled him, Rankin still slides
over. It's
not
over. So much the tackle,
he
is
still
it?
Slides
he
over.
After.
He pulls him onto his back and shoves him over the line.
That's
incredible.
That's an advert for having wrestling coaches, isn't it?
Yeah. That was, yeah. If he tackles him, he scores.
Yeah. It's a suplex manoeuvre, isn't it?
Yeah.
What did you think, Martin?
I thought it was one of the greatest tackles I've ever seen. I mean, we go back to 2003. There was a great tackle by Kieran Cunningham on Mark Smith, a try-saving tackle that was not quite similar, but you know, just as brilliant. And there was the great tackle in the NRL Grand Final in 2003 when Scott Sattler tackled Todd Byrne, and that won the game for Penrith, effectively. And, you know, I mean, there are some great tackles in rugby league, but that's got to be right up there, right at the very top. I mean, if we were to compile a top 10 tackles ever in the game, that's got to be there, hasn't it, I think?
I think I could go on for a while about what I thought about Castleford's performance. I think...
Well, don't do it for a while. Just give us, like, your best minute.
Yeah. Well... Jake Truman was the key for them, and he didn't come to the fore enough. As a halfback, it's his job to demand the ball from Paul McShane, and I don't think he did, because McShane was doing too many of those little kicks trying to get the ball into the in-goal, and it didn't work. Truman is the master of that in the Castleford team, and he didn't get the ball, but that is potentially Truman's fault. He's got to call for that ball and then he'll be able to influence the game more, which he just didn't. He didn't get hold of the ball enough. And the next thing is Castleford just weren't patient enough with the ball. They're trying to score off every play. You've got to earn the right to go wide in these. You've got to generate a quick play of the ball. Then Salford aren't coming off their line enough. But Salford were right up into their face when they tried passing it wide, and it didn't work.
What do you think of the try by Jake Bibby? Do you think it was a try? Greg Minikin tackling, which was also a very good tackle.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Actually.
I was at the game. I saw the try and I thought, right, okay. Right, let's look at the screen. Looked at the screen. Saw the replay. Sat back down and then was ready for the game to continue, like every other person in the stadium.
But, credit to Salford, they've got another chance at Wigan. And given the circumstances of you know, this going into this Salford-Castleford match, the fact that Castleford, you know, overcame Warrington and Salford were just beaten, you know, sucker punch by Wigan, punch in the stomach kind of thing. Salford to 22-0, Castleford like that. Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Salford have got momentum, and this idea that they've already achieved everything they could want to achieve this season, I just don't think that will go down well with them. You know, it's a bit like, to give an analogy, I actually met a lady the other day who's 99 years old and in pretty good health and perfect mental health. And, you know, she said to me, you know, do you want to live to be 100? Well, just wait till you're 99. And you certainly do. You know, and it's that sort of thing. They've got so far. Now they've got so near to Old Trafford. Do they want to get there? Yes, they do, even more than they wanted to at any other time in the season.
Oh, absolutely.
So they'd think it was a great failure to lose at Wigan on Friday night.
But if they looked back on it, maybe in a year or so's time, they'd say, well, that was a successful season. But obviously now they definitely do want to get there. They're not going to just go to Wigan thinking, oh, we've done all right already.
We've achieved our objective.
Now, obviously, they've got to play Wigan because Wigan had their own, how can I put this?
Shellacking.
It was pretty harsh, wasn't it, what St Helens did to them?
Yeah.
Right from minute one as well. Yeah. Saints attacked them relentlessly, didn't they?
Yeah, there's always a place for an old-school performance from a pack to dominate a game, isn't there? And that certainly was it. I thought Thompson and Knowles in particular were outstanding. And Wigan just couldn't live with the speed, the metres after collision, the pure pace that St Helens played the game at. And it was a good marker for St Helens fans who were maybe fearful that, look, yeah, they made the cup final this year, but they only beat a part-time side in the semi-finals. They fell short in the final. They fell short in two semis last year. They haven't actually played well in a big knockout game yet. Well, my God.
Yeah, you know what? The simple thing that Saints did was that just the timing of the runs from the forwards off the hooker's pass was just sublime every time. So they're running onto the ball so fast that Wigan just... It's so easy, rugby league.
Which was exemplified by Luke Thompson's try.
It's so easy, rugby league, when you play it like that. They made it look so easy.
If they play like that at Old Trafford, it's pretty irrelevant who wins this weekend, I suspect.
Yeah. No one.
But there's no guarantee they will play like we've seen it before. I think it was 2008. They smoked Leeds, I think, in the qualifying semi, made the final at the first attempt. Leeds won their game and then went and won the final. So there's
we were saying this a couple of weeks ago, weren't we? The fact that the team who gets the second bite
of
the grand final.
Second bite of the cherry counts for quite a lot. And you've got to bear in mind as well, it's the second time they play that's the most important game, because that's always the
Well, if it's Wigan who get there as well, it's the fifth time they'll have played them, and Saints have won all four, but in reality only one match.
St Helens know that if they turn up and play like that, they'll win. That's their advantage.
Justin Holbrook said that they needed the rest. Was it all down to rest?
No, it was down to motivation,
because having lost at Wembley, and if you saw them walking out at Wembley, they don't want to go through that again.
No.
And I think the motivation for St Helens is enormous.
I think it's the motivation for all three teams is huge. But Saints, Holbrook said that they hadn't had a rest, and the rest will have helped, definitely. But I just think the fact that they just played so well.
We've talked about how Salford bounced back, Aaron, from the Wigan defeat. How do Wigan bounce back from the St Helens defeat for Friday?
Well, first things first, I think they've got to hold their hands up and say they were comprehensively outplayed by a better side. And there's a good chance over the next two games they won't catch anyone in that kind of form again. St Helens will be under all sorts of pressure at Old Trafford, because really they're the one team who need to win it this year. The other two don't really need to win it. There's not as much pressure. I think they've just got to stick to what they've been good at all year, which is completing hard, running hard, and just relying on... I don't want to make them sound like they're a boring side to watch, because they're not far from it, but they're very good at the basics of Wigan. They need to get back to basics on Friday night, and I think you saw against Salford a fortnight ago that was just about enough to get them over the line in a tight game. They were, you know, the big error came from Salford, the Inu offload that really swung the game. So if Wigan stick to the principles that have got them this far, I suspect they'll be okay, but it might be tough to pick yourself back up off the floor after a defeat of that magnitude.
Can Wigan stop Salford? That's a different way of asking
that question.
Of course
they can. I mean, Wigan have got the ability to probably beat anybody really on their day. And of course, the thing was that Wigan have introduced all these young forwards this year who have played so well for them in the second half of the season. But they were exposed a bit at St Helens, weren't they? They were, you know, they're running into a brick wall there as far as Saints were concerned. But don't forget that Wigan held Salford out for the last 10 minutes of the game a couple of weeks ago with fantastic defence. Salford were all over them, if we're really honest about it. And you assume that they can probably do that again, but I think from that game, Salford will have picked up more confidence from it than Wigan did, because Salford, on most of the stats connected with the game, they were ahead of Wigan in that game. Just obviously on the scoreboard, they weren't. But I think they'll go with probably greater confidence in the early part of the game. I mean, they were confident in that game too, but they didn't pick up the early points. You know, they didn't establish a, you know, strong enough. They didn't convert pressure into points, really. I think they will be able to do that this Friday. I think they've got... I think it's an even game. I think they've got an even chance of winning. And don't forget, they've already sold 2,500 tickets.
I was going to say
with that tremendous support they've got, and they'll be the 18th man for Salford in the stadium on Friday night.
They're obviously it's like I said to you a while ago, Aaron. All the bucket hats are out. Yeah, everyone's out for a good time.
I'll have mine on. I hope they win.
How important is that following for on Friday night?
Oh, massive. The players would tell you that as well, that there's this narrative surrounding Salford, and you know, fair enough with the home crowds and stuff, that they're not well backed. But geez, away from home, they're loud, they're rowdy. I remember the semi-final against Wigan 2 years ago in the cup at Warrington, 2 or 3 years ago, and they were loud then. And I'm telling you what, they'll bring the noise on Friday. And I just hope. Nothing against Wigan whatsoever. I just hope they get there, because it's an amazing story, and the game needs stories like that in its big finals and its big games.
We need new teams at Old Trafford.
I think so. And like I say, I had no preference between Saints and Wigan last week. I just wanted whoever lost to lose again this week, because I just want Salford to go all the way. And my heart thinks they will. My head probably says Wigan in these semi-finals are a different breed. And when it's all on the line and it's do or die, you generally see a bit more from Wigan than you do from most other teams.
You've kind of put me in a weird position here, because I'm all for balance on this show. So do I have to now say good luck Wigan? Is that what I have to say? Alex, you can say it for me.
I think that Salford will struggle to beat Wigan on that day. No matter how good they are, Wigan will be able to just play like Wigan and win those games. It's just one of those things that they always do. There you go.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't surprise any of us if they did, would it? No. Let's face it.
Right, well, that's Wigan against Salford on Friday. To say that's going to be box office would be an understatement. It's going to be on Sky, and it's going to be arguably the biggest game of the season thus far, would you say?
Yeah, in Super League.
No doubt at all.
Definitely.
Well, big good luck to both Salford and Wigan in that playoff game this weekend. The grand finals in the Championship are also taking place this weekend. Toulouse 12, Featherstone 36. Martin, we're at the stage now where the WF postcode could be...
A quarter of Super League.
Yeah.
I mean, well, of course. Talk about the great rugby league cities of Brisbane and Sydney. What about Wakefield?
Yeah. Well, there's one thing. If Featherstone got promoted, they'd have the best stadium in the WF postcode. That's for sure. So, and Featherstone have always played quite well when they've gone to Toronto. I think they beat them there last year. They only lost narrowly earlier this year. And of course, Toronto blew it last year with London Broncos, didn't they? But I think Toronto look better this year to me than they did last year. And they've got a coach in Brian McDermott who's used to coaching sides in big games.
That's the difference, Brian McDermott factor.
I'd be amazed if Toronto blew it again. I really would. Featherstone have taken big support to some of these playoff games too, including in Toulouse.
It would be the greatest playoff triumph in rugby league history.
Team number five.
Winning, and you know, Leeds won it from five before, but they had a neutral game in the final to win the title. Featherstone have had to go away to 4-3-2-1. If they win all four,
and it's not,
tell you what.
It's not like a trip over the Pennines, is it?
They had to come back from Toulouse, fly Bristol Airport on Monday.
Nice is Bristol.
And then on Thursday, they're heading out to Toronto. So it's a you know, non-stop.
Penny for Robert Elston starts.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, it's proper, isn't it? I mean, you could have a proper World City. No disrespect to Featherstone, but you could have a proper World City in Toronto. Yeah. Or you can have Featherstone. I mean, that's where we are, isn't it? I mean, it's fantastic. That's how rugby league should be.
It's a choice between one of the most recognisable places in the world and Toronto.
If 10 years' time, this is why I think Northerners shouldn't be afraid of this. If we can get to a stage where Featherstone are mixing shoulders, or Keighley are mixing shoulders with the likes of New York and Toronto,
it's great.
That's good for the North more generally, I think.
Of course.
Toulouse, I mean, they're coming for a bit of typical, isn't it, kind of outcome to that game, but they did come back from Toronto last week.
I think you just got to praise Featherstone. Yeah. I think they were great. They were great.
They're a very good side, and Ryan Carr's a very good coach.
Toulouse will be obviously really disappointed that they've not made the grand final, because they should have done. But Featherstone have just on such a massive roll.
I think any sort of slurring of Toulouse is disrespectful to Featherstone in this instance. I thought they were comprehensively the better team.
They've absolutely smashed every team they've played, pretty much, Featherstone.
Mm. Yeah. They have.
And not just any teams, Lee, York.
Lee away, York away, Toulouse away. They've won comfortably on all occasions.
Oh my God, Featherstone could be in Super League next year.
Now, if anyone can beat Toronto in Toronto, Featherstone have done it. They came close. Were they missing Dane Chisholm and Cameron King when they went there?
They were without a few, weren't they? Yeah, memory tells me that King definitely didn't go. So, and everyone's going this time. Everyone's good to go. Everyone's on the plane. So
they will fancy it hugely.
One thing they will do is they'll go down swinging, won't they? They'll play some rugby. They'll throw the ball around. They certainly won't be shy, and they won't get.
That's the thing with Featherstone. They've been playing really
they'll
great.
Score some points. They'll score some points. They'll trouble Toronto. It's the kind of question Toronto
won't. We all said about the £1 million game, like, oh, there'll be points, and there was 4-0.
Yeah,
4-2.
There is a backdrop to this, though, for Featherstone, and that's the curious question of Ryan Carr and what's happening.
Well,
because, you know, there's a piece in the paper on Monday about James Webster perhaps being in the line for.
There
for
wasn't an answer until Featherstone are out.
Yeah, that was the feeling I was told for that.
Well, one thing's for sure is he's done an absolutely phenomenal job, and no matter where he ends up,
it is quite open ended. Carr's future as well. I know people are linking him to Leeds, but it's not a guarantee that he'll go there. He's got interest back home.
But Featherstone,
that's the curveball that nobody has actually considered. But I still suspect he'll leave. I think there are. I don't want to be disrespectful. I think there are bigger jobs awaiting Ryan Carr. He's proven this year. To take Featherstone to, you know, within one game of Super League, he's shown his merit, and I think they had 8 players when he turned up last pre-season. So he's done a tremendous job.
He turned up a week before the season started.
He's done a brilliant job. He's done an absolutely brilliant job. And, James Webster's certainly the favourite. He has held talks with Featherstone about taking the job. He's leaving Hull KR at the end of the season. Well, he's left Hull KR because their season's finished. So, yeah, it looks like that's going to be happening.
Can I ask a question about what happens if Toronto win? Are they
up? They'll be in. Yeah, they're in. Yeah.
Okay.
They've not confirmed it yet, though.
I cannot believe this is the third week on the trot where I've asked that question it's still...
I mean, it's just so typical of our sport, isn't it, that we've not... confirm that yet.
Anyway, that grand final, the £1 million game, as I forgot that it was actually called nowadays. Oh, Toronto Wolfpack against Featherstone Rovers, 7:30 kickoff UK time.
This
That's
is another
live
thing.
On
we,
Sky.
We need to arrive at a clearer definition of what all these games are, don't we? You know, we've suddenly started calling it the £1 million game in the last 7 days.
Yeah. And it's worth more than £1 million.
It is.
That's a Saturday game anyway. There's a match on Sunday as well, which I'm imagining will be on our league. Oldham against the Newcastle Thunder. Newcastle are beating Doncaster 34-4 in that preliminary final of League One. Newcastle making amends for the earlier game against Donny.
Yeah, and they were good as well, very good. I think it's the best two teams in League One in the final, obviously, aside from Whitehaven, who won the comp. The best two teams in the playoffs are in the final. There'll be a lot of emotion and a lot of pressure for various different reasons. Obviously, it's Scott Naylor's last game after a hell of a long stint as Oldham coach, so he'll want to go out on a high. There's a lot of pressure on Newcastle. People fancied them from the get-go this year. They've done well to pick themselves back up from a slow start to get to this stage.
And then losing to Doncaster
So they've proven that they can bounce back, but I think people will be looking at them and expecting them to get it done on Sunday, and I'm not sure it's quite as clear cut as that, because Oldham are a very handy side.
Is this not going to be like that rower who said, if you ever get me back in a boat, shoot me? If Oldham get promoted, do you reckon Scott Naylor might have second thoughts?
Again, possibly. It's a question to ask him after the game.
Where's
on Sunday,
isn't
it?
Scott Naylor.
I have no idea.
That's what I...
Breaking news, everybody.
But it may not be so.
You forgot to say the old journalistic line, as I understand.
Well, yes. Classic Matt Shaw line.
Yeah.
Kieran Gill with a hat-trick. He's phenomenal this season, hasn't he, Kieran Gill?
Absolutely. He's got a level in which he can absolutely thrive. To be fair, when he played for Cass, he always stood up really well. Yeah. And he's just unlucky that there are other players in front of him at that level.
You've got to say, of the two clubs, if either of them, you know, wouldn't get promoted, in the long term, Newcastle look by far the most... likely to be able to take advantage of it, you know, with a very, very wealthy backer. On Backchatter 2 or 3 weeks ago, Mick Hogan, the chief executive of Newcastle Thunder, said that their aim is to win Super League by 2030. So, you know,
I'm taking a snippet of that laughter.
You can't beat long-term planning, can you?
What's that? Series 12, that'll be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what they want.
It'll be interesting if they win on Sunday to see how, assuming Toronto win the final, championships. A lot more open without Toronto in it, isn't it?
So yeah.
It'd be interesting to see how heavy they would go for it financially next year, because they do have the capability to go for it. They really do. And they could certainly mix it with the teams at the top, York, Bradford.
I don't think they'll go for it straight away.
No, maybe not. That's what I find interesting.
Does it all depend on the dreaded structure conversation, which might happen over close season?
Because you would have to think that they would spend enough to be away from the bottom, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
It's more whether they want to consolidate.
No, I'm referring to the chance that there might be an extra place to Super League, because Robert Elston's not going to have loop fixtures for another season after this, is it?
Well, yeah, not for 2021.
But next season will look like this season. I think
they'll just try and consolidate.
Maybe in 2021 there'll be a chance.
But that's, you know, assuming they'll win again.
Assuming that Newcastle go up. Oldham, last time Oldham were in Championship, I think they were playing in Bower Fold, weren't they?
They're
having four-figure crowds. Yeah. So Oldham, they're a sleeping giant in a way.
They need a wealthy backer there, don't they, to really, you know, be able to put some money into the club and develop it.
I don't know if this is actually a thing, you know, in real life. We say it a lot, but the football club's in disarray across the city.
Town.
The football club's in disarray. So there's an opportunity if they do go up, you know, they're a club moving the right way, you would assume, you know, progressing on and off the field. Maybe they could tap into that market. You know, there'll be some disillusioned Oldham Athletic fans. Who knows? They could get four-figure crowds again. I think.
Which league do Oldham Athletic play?
League 2, the bottom tier of the Football League. But they're really struggling. They're struggling at the wrong end.
One time they were in the Premiership, weren't they?
They were. Premier League. Yeah, they're struggling.
Right, prediction time then, everybody. Okay. Firstly, Friday night game, Wigan against Salford. Aaron.
God, it's,
your heart says...
Like I said, my heart says Salford, my head says Wigan.
Okay, yeah. We're putting this to a committee vote, by the way.
I'll go Wigan.
I'm
like Aaron. Yeah. Love to see Salford get there. Nothing against Wigan, and I think Wigan will do it.
Okay. Did you say you think Salford will do it?
No, I hope Salford do it, but I think Wigan will do it. So it's a clean sweep.
Okay, well, no, it's not, because I'm saying Salford. Okay, Wigan go up. Wigan are through to the grand final, according to this show. A tie, then they'll play forever until they run out of mushy peas, like they did last time. Saturday's game, Toronto and Featherstone.
Toronto. The prime McDermott factor for me.
I'm going Featherstone. Good. I just... Why not?
Yeah, I think Toronto. I think they'll pull it off.
Okay, I'm abstaining. Toronto through, and congratulations on getting to the Super League. Finally, Oldham Newcastle.
This is the toughest one, isn't it? This is the toughest one.
It is a tough one. I just think Newcastle might do it. I think they, you know, I'll go with them, I think.
I'll give home advantage to Oldham. I think Oldham, yeah.
Oldham for me.
Okay, well, as a Manchester lad, I'm going to go Oldham as well. So that's 3-1. So there we go. Right, shortly we're going to be hearing from Lorraine Marsden to talk about the playoffs in the Women's Super League. And just a reminder, we're going to be staying on the left side of the Pennines, or the right side, if you will, as we'll be talking to the Charlie Panthers in a second or two. But just to stick with Championship and that neck of the woods, just a quick mention for the Sheffield Eagles and finally getting the green light on the stadium, which is going to start construction in December. And how important is that going to be for the city of Sheffield?
I think it's really vital. I mean, Sheffield is a city a bit like Newcastle in a way, that's a great soccer city, but with a rugby league club that's got the potential to make a significant mark. You know, it'll never be the major code, obviously, in either city, but we can have a pretty respectable niche, I think. And Sheffield Eagles need that stadium, you know, to be developed so that they can become a really good Championship club, and perhaps one day have ambition to get into Super League, where they, you know, might play at, say, Bramall Lane, for example. Who knows? But that's in the long term.
As a Sheffield lad, I would. It's huge for them to have that stadium, because Don Valley was not
it was
right
awful,
for them.
Wasn't it?
All it was just one stand, and then that was it. And you can't create an atmosphere with just
no. You're so far away
fans
from
in
the,
one. Yeah, it wasn't right. And then they went to the sports park, and they've been all over the place, haven't they? And to have a proper stadium, proper home,
to have survived in the way they have has been quite remarkable, isn't it?
Well, they've had to move cities and everything, haven't they? Mm. It's been an absolute nightmare for them.
Well, big congratulations to everyone at Sheffield, and fingers crossed. Obviously, we don't count our chickens until something happens.
As we all know.
Before we get to the interviews, just some transfer talk and that kind of thing. Ooh. Luke Gayle.
Yes.
Mm.
What about
him? Is this some kind of surprise that no one saw coming?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Yeah. Good move for Leeds, good move for Castleford.
Good move for everyone, I think.
It depends who Castleford get in. People are coming up with names and one name here, one name there, and if that name is correct, then it is good business. If that name is correct, then it isn't. It all depends on who they get in and how that works, because Gayle was obviously a huge player for Castleford in 2017, but it's not worked out for him for the last couple of years through injuries. And if Cass have got a good figure, good amount for Gayle, who's not played for 2 years, then yeah, great deal.
Gayle's 31. He's got a 3-year deal, which has got to be great for him, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's a good move all around. Leeds needed a good half back. Gayle's
Gayle
got
and
3 years
playing together. It's going to be quite interesting, isn't it?
And if Cass get a good replacement in, why not?
And Callum McClelland on, you know, as a backup standoff, who's been playing so well with Featherstone.
Yes, he's certainly looking like he's making progress.
Well, Luke Gayle's been a busy man recently, because Luke Gayle was the person who the Rugby League World Cup 2021 sent to Chorley to hand them the cheque for £80,000. You see that? That's why I set it up really well. The Lancashire outfit have got this money, this grant, as part of a wider development to build a new clubhouse. And on Wednesday afternoon, I caught up with the chairman of the Charlie Panthers. Here's Alan Bowers. So, Alan, a big thank you for joining us, and a big congratulations on successfully receiving this grant money. I mean, what's this going to mean for the club?
It's a bit of a life changer, really, for the club. We've got two lots of funding. We had Sport England money, which went along to Sport Match what we had in terms of our own savings of £125,000. But when the costings came in for the club, we were still £80,000 short. So it looked like we weren't going to get the thing off the ground. So I rang the RFL, and they threw us the lifeline of the World Cup Legacy Fund that they could possibly provide us with the £80,000, which they came up with the goods. So work started on site, and we're cracking on.
That's absolutely amazing. And if you go on the RFL's website, you'll see a video on there, because it's going up pretty fast now, the clubhouse.
Yeah, it is going up fast. It's amazed me, really. So I didn't think the guys would do it as quickly as they could. We were demolished within 3 days, and then the timber frame arrived. That went up. I've not been up to the site since Sunday afternoon. When I went up Sunday afternoon, it was waterproof with the tiles on and the brickwork's going up. I've had a phone call this evening to say that the sparks are going in tomorrow. So, yeah, it's unbelievable, really, to say that within a matter of 9 weeks we'll get the keys.
Amazing. And we should say as well, for a club like the Charlie Panthers, it's a club in its 30th anniversary year. And when you go on the website, charliepanthers.leaguerepublic.com, when you go on there, you know, all the age ranges and all that. Can you give us a bit of a history about the club and all the teams that are going to be making use of these facilities?
Yeah, as you mentioned there, we're in our 30th anniversary. So we've got a big celebration ball coming up. So it was fantastic that we can deliver this new clubhouse this year. When we started out, we were a nomadic side. We were playing all over the borough. And then probably 12 years ago, we took delivery of a prefab site, which is, it was past its useful life at that stage. And we've kept it going. So it's long, long past its useful life. So the clubhouse will now become a proper hub for us. We've got kids playing at the club from Saturday mornings, four-year-olds up to six-year-olds before they start playing actual contact sport, and then we go from sevens right the way through to open age. And it's looking like, with the publicity that we've got, we'll have a girls team running up again and a ladies team, and with a bit of luck, we'll also be running a second team at open age level. So it's been a massive catalyst to get more profile for the club, and that's interested people from all across the borough and beyond.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those listening in and going, oh, Charlie, I remember Charlie and Rugby League. Obviously, this is putting Charlie back on the map, as it were. But, you know, we go back to the professional side that used to play at Victory Park. There is a history of Rugby League in that Preston Charlie area.
There is indeed. You know, and it's a strong tradition. We saw it as a little place between Wigan and Manchester, and I suppose if you look at Manchester and the Salford Rugby League Club, and then it's a long way to go to Wigan. So Charlie sat between the two, and we've just cracked on. We've been off radar. We've delivered some players into the professional game, and we just keep that going. What we try and do on a Saturday morning is start the kids in rugby league in terms of the community sport before they get to football and the dark side.
And when it comes to you know, this season more generally, obviously off the pitch, it's going from strength to strength, but you are in a playoff final as well.
We are. We've probably had our best season, really, in terms of on-the-field activities. Our open age have gone superbly well. They're looking for an unprecedented treble. So they've won the league. They won the cup 3 weeks back, and last week they won the playoff semi-final. So they're at Victory Park at Latchford Albion on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. And our under-14s, they're also going through the playoffs at the moment, with the 13s doing well as well. So it's a good time, both on and off the field. And success breeds success, I suppose.
Yeah, so let's talk about the future then, because it feels like the sky's the limit now, all of a sudden, with the clubhouse, all the age ranges, you know, like as we touched upon here, a conveyor belt coming through. What's the future for the Charlie Club?
Well, where we are at the moment, we're outside. We don't play in the conference, but that's the ambition. One of the qualifying things when you play at conference level is that you've got a second team. So we've probably got a squad at the moment now in the open age of in excess of 35 players. And I know from speaking to the coaches that selection is a headache now. So we need to retain those players, running the second team. Hopefully the open age will get promotion and they'll go through the next division. And I would say within 2 years, expectations from everybody involved in the club is that our open age will be playing in the conference.
And that'd be absolutely amazing, wouldn't it? And, you know, we've touched upon on the show over the past season or so about, you know, the summer bash and, you know, rugby league and, you know, how it used to be in Blackpool and like we said here with the Lancashire Lynx and the Charlie Lynx, how it used to be in Charlie as well. Is the future bright, do you think, for the sport in that central Lancashire area?
I think it is, yeah. The schools don't play as much rugby league as we'd like, so we don't get a great feed into the club. We've got a good professional partnership with the local rugby league clubs where, you know, our guys get picked up in the academy side and the scholarship side, which generates its own interest. But I think because we are, you know, we're outside of what would be a main rugby league playing area, it's down to the activities of the club and engagement in the community where we get our new players from.
And just before you go, Alan, we should just mention for those people who've listened to this and gone, wow, this sounds amazing. If you go to the Twitter feed at Charlie Panthers, you'll also see some pictures there, and it is like Grand Designs. So head over there and give Charlie Panthers a follow. But Alan, a big thank you for joining us. You keep up the good work, and a happy 30th anniversary.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate your time.
Alan Bowers there, chairman of the Charlie Panthers. And obviously, Charlie, I've had lots of rugby league experience in the past, but it's never really took hold. But
No, there used to be a professional club in Chorley, of course. But and funnily enough, their biggest ever game was playing in the Euro... What the heck was it called? Some form of European Cup when they went to and played Toulouse, I think, in the final in front of about 10,000 people. Mm. And lost it. This was some year, probably about 15 years ago. And, you know, things looked to be going really well for them at that time. They were playing at the football club ground, which I think is called Victory Park.
Yes.
Yeah, but for some reason it fell away, and they've never revived the professional game there. But great to see a community club doing so well.
Yeah, absolutely, especially in that central Lancashire belt.
And they've produced
quite
a few young players too.
Let's talk about some other transfers. Plenty of transfer talk in the paper this week. Alex Walker going to Wakefield, Ashton Goulding going to Huddersfield, and Joel Tompkins going to the Catalans, as well as Josh Drinkwater, I think, as well. So how's all the transfer market looking at the moment, Aaron?
Well, I expect it to get going again now the Gale thing has happened, because the Gale woman's the one that a few clubs were waiting on, because obviously it looks like Danny Richardson's going to go to Castleford, so that gives St Helens a bit of room. Then you get a little bit of a snowball effect across the league. So
Richie Myler going somewhere?
You would suspect so, wouldn't you? I mean, I appreciate I'm in the minority on this. He's some sort of scapegoat to Leeds fans, but he's too good to be not playing. He's a good player. Wayne Bennett doesn't pick you for England if you're rubbish, does he? So good luck to him. I hope he can find a move and really find a club that fits him, because I don't think it's quite worked out at Leeds. So, yeah, there's going to be quite a bit of movement happening now the Gale thing's confirmed.
Also, as well, other matters arising in the newspaper, and I'll come to you for this one, Alex, probably. It's probably best to come to you.
Right.
Will Great Britain and Ireland play Tonga?
Oh, God knows. God knows. It's just...
It does look like it now.
They probably will.
Now Wolf's back in.
But Tonga are an absolute mess at the moment. And they look like they're just about coming out the other side of that. Wolf's back. And that's key. That's absolutely key.
The Tonga story is a typical rugby league story of something that becomes tremendously successful, and then we blow it, don't we, as a sport. It goes back to square one. A bit like Swinton, actually, you know, in a completely different context, you know, doing so well, and then there's a big, enormous row, and it's back to
square
one.
No, it's public rows, have you noticed?
Yeah, yes, indeed.
The key for them is Christian Wolf, because he was the one that convinced the likes of Jason Tamalolo and Andrew Fifita to play for them. So he's the reason why they're successful.
Mm. And we can't understate this. Rugby League really needs Tonga to do well. I would suggest.
Oh, we saw it in 2017. I mean, that semi-final against England, the atmosphere there must have been absolutely incredible.
Well, all the South Pacific nations, we want them all to do well, don't we? There's Tonga, there's Samoa, there's Fiji, there's PNG.
They love rugby league. There's a huge passion, and they bring so much colour and passion and flair to the game. And the way they play as well is phenomenal.
Speaking of the game down under, where's Josh Duggan going?
If anyone can afford him, then... That would be awesome for Super League, but to be honest...
What's your understanding, Aaron?
That I...
He'd command a huge
I've
wage.
I've just been asked a question by you that I don't know the answer to.
Alex, what's your understanding?
Duggan is... He's not worked out for him at Cronulla in a lot of ways, because I think they have too many good players that... Like Moylan's there, Duggan, and then they've got all sorts of quality outside backs. They can't fit them all in, and Duggan is playing here... playing there, he's playing on the fullback, he's playing in centre, and when that happens he's not settled in. So, but as I say, his wage will be huge.
Who needs a fullback in Super League? That's the question, because he is a fullback. I can't profess to being an NRL expert, but he is a fullback, and the only club that really did need a fullback were Huddersfield, but they've now signed Ashton Goulding.
I just can't imagine that any Super League club could afford
Gareth O'Brien's too good not to be playing.
He is, but Josh Duggan is such a big physical presence, isn't he?
I don't know.
A very good player.
Sorry, did I pronounce his name wrong, by the way?
Yeah, Tony Duggan.
No one remember Hacksaw Jim Duggan? It was definitely Duggan. It was definitely Duggan. Anyway, congratulations to Warrington's PDRL team on their grand final success last weekend. And speaking of grand finals, we'll be coming to Alex shortly to talk about the NRL grand final. But the NCL grand final will be taking place and the playoff finals will be taking place this weekend. We'll be hearing from Phil next week, but a big good luck to everyone taking part in those games. And the women's playoff semi-finals also take place this weekend. And for more, I caught up with assistant editor of League Express. Here's Lorraine Marsden. Well, Lorraine, a big thank you for joining us, as always. And, well, we're at the stage now where we're into the playoffs in Super League. In the lead-up to this, obviously the two favourites went head-to-head, and St Helens were very impressive.
They were. They put in a very, very strong performance over Castleford. I think they were really... really up for that game. I get the feeling they really wanted to be the ones to knock Castleford off the stride a little bit, and they certainly did that. Whether there was still a bit of hangover from Castleford's point of view, that they'd gone out there, they'd got the job done in the previous game, and they'd had over a week to celebrate that. I don't know, but Saints certainly showed the title credentials on Sunday.
Yes, absolutely. Well, the matches this Sunday taking place, Castleford Tigers first against Wigan Warriors. Wigan obviously finished a bit back from everyone else. They're obviously the fourth team in this playoff. Can they stop Castleford? And how are Castleford going to react to that defeat at St Helens?
Knowing the coach at Castleford, she won't have been happy with the result on Sunday, so she'll really be trying to get the players to bounce back from that. Wigan will certainly look at that result from the weekend and suddenly becomes, I wouldn't say an easier prospect, but they can see that Castleford are beatable and they will take something from that.
Now, the intriguing game, very, very intriguing. St Helens against the Leeds Rhinos. Obviously, Leeds have already won silverware this season.
Yeah.
So it would be an upset, though, I'm going to suggest, but stranger things have happened.
Yeah, they've been pretty close all season, those two sides. And Leeds got the better of St Helens in the Challenge Cup semi-finals, so they do have form for it, and they do have form for pulling performances out of the bag when they need to. So, yeah, that's probably, I would say, the more intriguing semi-final of the two.
Now, we'll come to your predictions in a second for them, but just to mention as well, because it's not just Super League that have got playoff semi-finals this weekend, Championship as well. Warrington, who won the League Leader Shield, they'll be taking on Huddersfield Giants, and Barrow Island will be taking on Stanningliffe. So, where's that going?
Yeah, again, the more intriguing tie of those two, I would say, is Warrington-Huddersfield. They've both got ambitions to one day be in Super League. Whether or not it happens this season or whether they decide to develop for another year in the Championship before moving up, nothing's been decided yet, but they'll both certainly be wanting to go out and show that they do have the ability to push for Super League if they get the chance.
And fair play to Barrow and Stanningley for doing this well in this competition. I mean, it shows that at the community game level there are some brilliant players.
There are, yeah. It just shows as well in general how much the women's game is on the rise, and how much the quality of the games are increasing as well.
And in League One, all kinds of stuff going on in the week before we get to the playoff semi-finals. Obviously, there's been points deductions and all kinds of stuff. We can confirm, probably not exclusively, but we can say this, Cutsite will take on West Leeds and Keighley will take on Halifax.
The very fact that it's come down to games being awarded to teams when they've not been able to field enough players or they've had weather disruptions, the fact that it's come down to those points right at the end of the season, that's decided the league position and show just how close League One has been this year. So again, two ties that could easily go either way.
Yes, absolutely. And just before you go, Lorraine, there's a piece on page two in League Express this week about women receiving payment for playing. And obviously this is to do with England Nines and that kind of thing, isn't it? I mean, this is brilliant,
it's massive,
isn't it? I mean,
it really is.
We are talking baby steps here, but that's a seismic step.
Yeah, and it is just for the one tour. It is just for the 16 players that are going out to play in the Nines. But it's the first step of hopefully hopefully many, but I do agree with what Jodie Cunningham says in that piece, that at this stage it's probably still more important to invest any money the game generates back into the game rather than instantly trying to go professional and instantly trying to pay the players. There is still a lot of development that needs doing in the game to put that base in place to really build on. So, but I mean, for this one tour, it's absolutely fantastic news, and the 16 players that are going out there will fully deserve it, because a lot of them were starting to do a bit of fundraising because they all work full time or students, and so a lot of them are having to take unpaid leave from the jobs to allow them to go out. And while they've all got the support of the bosses at the work, it's still difficult for them to still pay the bills and such like. So this will really help them and mean they can really go out and just focus on the job in hand.
Yes, absolutely, and it's more than deserved, that's for sure. Just before you go, Lorraine, on this week's show, obviously it's grand final Arama on this week's show. We do have to get your prediction. Who's going to be in the Super League grand final?
Yeah, I've got a sneaky feeling that Salford, you know, they've got the form behind them, they've got some momentum behind them, they've got people talking about them for the first time in a long time in a positive light. I think they might really build on that and surprise a few people this weekend.
And for the women's?
For the women's, very tight to call. I know I say that every time I'm in here and you ask me for predictions, but I think my heart is probably saying Castleford St Helens is the top two. It was a top two grand final last year between Wigan and Leeds. Wigan went on to win that one from second, so I can see it being a top two again, especially with St Helens will want to go out and try and win a trophy on their own turf at the Totally Wicked Stadium.
And match reports available in next
in
week's
Monday's
League Express.
We're getting full match report and hopefully pictures from both semi-finals.
Lorraine Marsden there. From League Express, and a big good luck to everyone in the Women's Super League playoffs this weekend. That then leads us nicely, Alex, to the NRL Grand Final.
What a game.
Now,
come on, Sydney.
Melbourne, they must feel awful.
Well, I mean, obviously, they were so dominant in the regular season, 6 points clear of teams like the Sydney Roosters, but it didn't work out for them in the playoffs. They'd lost to Canberra and they lost to the Roosters. They had a good result in the middle against Parramatta, but they didn't win the big games. So yeah.
If you don't win, you don't win. Yeah. You don't win a title by losing games.
It feels like a bit of an end of an era as well, because it even could be Cameron Smith's last game. Cameron Smith signed a new deal for 2020 back in January, but when he was quizzed by Slater at the end of the game, he was a bit non-committal about it. Oh, this might be my last game. So it would be the end of
Smith, Well, you're bound Smith, to be that way Kronk. When you just lost a big game like that, aren't you?
Yeah, so it would be the end of Smith, Kronk, Slater. So that would be it for
He's
Melbourne.
He's going to go full-time in the referees department, Cameron
yeah.
Smith.
Well, now, he probably already is, to be honest.
Do Canberra know where the grand final has taken place? Because they've not been there for ages. Apparently, it's the longest streak without.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah, 25 years, 1994. So, as they always say, you got to lose one to win one. And this could be the one that Canberra lose, because the Roosters look pretty formidable.
I think the Roosters are an incredible side, actually. Yeah.
Salford against Canberra would be a bloody great World Club Challenge next year, wouldn't it, by the way?
No one saw coming.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you could play anywhere.
The Roosters, they had players missing against Melbourne. Two huge players in the front row and they still won.
They could go on great. Where could you play it?
What's your prediction,
Trafford?
I predict that the Roosters will win. As an English person with three potential English players playing for Canberra, it'd be nice for the Raiders to win, but I think the Roosters will win.
Okay, well, that's 9:30, and it will be on Sky, of course, on Sunday morning. Just before we go, just any other business, Martin?
In back chat this week, I'm just trying to remember who's on. There's
Richard Thewlis.
Richard Thewlis is one of the people who's on there. We've got Ricky Wilby as well, and I can't remember who the third person is, actually, but because I wasn't involved myself, and Matthew's not here. But apparently it's a pretty good show. So,
Martin Vickers from Toronto.
Martin Vickers, that's the one.
Wow.
That's the one, yeah.
What's he doing over here?
Oh, he spends a bit of time over
Toronto
here.
Toronto best in England.
But yeah. I think that'll be a really interesting show. As for League Express, well, we've got absolutely... we'll have a preview of the grand final in this week's issue, which is a big thing to watch out for. especially if you're a Salford fan.
Absolutely. And just stop
Salford,
there.
Salford are in there.
So. Come on, Salford. Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
Mm. And Alex, obviously the NRL Grand Finals, very much in your thoughts on Monday.
Full page. There we go.
And Aaron?
Yes.
Rugby league correspondent for The Guardian and Observer. what's coming up in your world?
Well, we'll be previewing the Grand Final on Sunday, so our Grand Final coverage starts then.
I was going to mention, with you mentioned Mr Vickers, Toronto being included in the Challenge Cup next season, that's welcoming, isn't it?
Great for them. I'm delighted to see it. I think every team ought to be. I'd like to see Toulouse in as well.
Yeah, I agree.
But,
some more French teams, generally.
Pia Donkeys.
Yeah.
Pia Donkeys. Oh, they were a Moscow team in once, weren't they? Have I made that up?
Locomotive.
You get any football there.
Sorry.
Red Star Belgrade were in it this year, weren't they? I went to Milan. That was the coldest day ever.
I think I remember saying on the show a while ago in the Regal Trophy, Carcassonne played Wigan at Central Park.
Pia Donkeys.
So I think you'll be at Oldham this Sunday.
I am at Oldham this Sunday, Are you going?
No, because my women's FA Cup match has been switched, so I've got to cover that now instead. Wow. I was planning on going, but
I'm looking forward to it. I've never been.
But that's the end of the Total Rugby League show for this week. A big thank you to Alan Bowers, chairman of Charlie, for joining us, as well as Wayne Marsden, and of course Aaron Bower. Yes, thank you for joining us. Alex Davis, a big pleasure as always. And Martin Sadler.
Thank you.
And wherever you're going this weekend, make sure you have fun. Bye bye.